kept secrets. The Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Remember the stormy weather this past summer? Do you remember how well your insurance coverage responded? Don't learn the lesson of being properly insured the hard way. A free insurance review with Pearson Anderson Insurance has options to specifically cover you at a price you can live with. Let Pearson Anderson review your insurance program to make sure you're ready for the future. Pearson Anderson Insurance, insuring a brighter tomorrow. Give them a call today.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And good morning, everyone. Back here on Breakfast with the Coaches. And first up, we talk with Shelley Budnagan, head coach of the Huron Tiger volleyball team. We've been going here a week and a half and already a 4-3 record, so there's been a lot of volleyball played here early on. And Shelley, I guess with a young team, and most any team, no matter you're young, lot back or whatever, I think you like to play a lot early and then maybe just take a step back to see where you're at.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, you know, you practice real hard for 12 days, and so now it's just time to play, and the court experience is so important, especially for a very young team and very inexperienced team. So we haven't minded going and play, and you know, right now we're taking a day or two off, and then we have to go back to, you know, looking at some things and trying to tweak some things. But I think it's been a really positive experience, and you know, we've been on the road a lot, and that's okay too for a young team.
You know, and that's one thing, granted, you're 4-3, seven matches, but you had what I call mini matches, I guess, last week. Four best, two out of three, but you can do a lot of things with that tournament like the Huron Invitational, something we hadn't done till 2 years ago, because you get to see different teams, therefore you're going to see different looks. The girls are going to see different things thrown at them in a short amount of time, plus you can do a little experimenting yourself. Does this work? Does this back line work better with this set of hitters and so on?
Right, you really do. You know, and we've always been talking, you know, is there a way that we can play a lot of non-conference in the early beginning? And so this tournament solved that, where I love that, where it wasn't, you know, affecting our ESD at all. And then, you know, for our young team, we called it eyes wide open. We got our eyes wide open when, you know, they were thinking they were pretty good. And then you look at all the teams that we had there, and you see all the talent, and you see all the different things that they're doing, and how hard they're hitting, and how well they're digging. I think that was the biggest thing for our back line was, you know, we were thinking we were pretty good, and we saw some other teams play really good defense and pass really well, and it you know, opened up our eyes, and we knew that we were going to have to perform a lot better. And so for that was a great experience. And then our hitters had to find out how much harder that they were going to have to hit. And we're very limited in numbers, and we're very limited in bench, and we're very limited right now in experience and, you know, the number of hitters that we have. And so eyes wide open, we found out what we were going to have to do.
You know, and you did come out of the last Saturday with an injury, so a couple of girls were asked to play some varsity minutes. Madison Fitzer, Melissa Berg, both got some time, and both girls did some nice things there, you know, almost getting thrown into the fire, really.
Well, yeah, you know, Carly Lynch, you know, stepped in someone's foot, the hood gone under the net, and she already had sprained that ankle on the first day of practice, and now we're thinking that it didn't have enough time to heal, and that was unfortunate. But, you know, that's the type of kid that Carly is. She didn't want to miss a second. She didn't want to miss a rep. And so maybe we got her in a little bit too quickly, and we didn't let her heal. And so this time we're going to try to do it right. And with not a very deep bench, yeah, some kids were going to get thrown into the fire. And that's okay, too. And now we're, you know, things happen for a reason. With Carly going down, it's made us develop kids and get them comfortable playing. And so, you know, as far as who are we going to play, either Madison or Melissa, I think sometimes it comes down to that night on matchups and or who's hot at that moment. And you know, Melissa added a great dimension against Brendan Valley, and Madison played okay against, you know, in the tournament and against Brookings well. So it's just going to come down to that right now until Carly's going to be healthy.
Well, you look back at last week as you lost a five-setter in Brookings Tuesday, but then went and had a three-set sweep against Brandon Valley on Thursday. And, you know, I mentioned 4-3, you played a lot of volleyball. That five-set match in Brookings, a lot of times I look at a five-set match, that's almost like playing two matches because, you know, those just get grueling. And when you're going five, that means it's a tight match and you get a lot of intensity in that as well. And, you know, and for the girls to bounce back, well, we'll get to that later. But first off, Brookings, you liked where you're at through the first three sets, but things just kind of fell apart.
Well,
apart in 4 and 5.
A lot of people can't see my face right now, or the girls' is when we talk about Brookings. And right now, we feel like there's two matches that got away. And when you look at that, you know, we were talking as a team, we're 4-3, which, you know, that's not bad. But realistically, we could be 6-1. I mean, really, honestly,
yep.
And you've seen it, and we've let two matches slip away. And the Brookings thing, though, I think Brookings beat us. I'm not so sure I don't think we beat ourselves. I think Brookings beat us, but we put ourselves in a position to allow that.
Yeah.
We lost total momentum. Our body language wasn't good. And therefore, just one mistake led into two, and then three, and then four. And once you lose that rhythm in volleyball, and you know that, you've seen that so many times in volleyball, we just couldn't get it back. And we got so discombobled that we just absolutely crumbled, in my opinion. Again, I don't want to take anything away from Brookings because I think they grabbed that opportunity and ran with it, and they took it to us. But there's a lot of things that we would do differently, and I think, you know, things happen for a reason, like we just said, but losing sometimes can be the very best thing for a team. And I think the Brookings thing, again, opened up our eyes. We took things for granted, and then we had to go back to the drawing board and a couple things and tweak a couple more things, and I think it paid off for us against Brandon.
Yeah, just what I was going to say, totally different. I wouldn't say we were a totally different team against Brandon, but we had a totally different mindset the game was there and the match was there and we just took it, played even the first half of the first set. Then we kind of took off into the first and never looked back as we pretty much controlled sets 2 and 3 for the sweep.
Well, we did. You know, I think if I was going to ask the kids to change their demeanor and their approach, I was too. And so I was a little bit more maybe animated than I was against Brookings. And I wanted the kids to know that if I was asking them to be more intense, I was going to have to act like it too. You know, I'm trying to figure out this
team's
personality.
You're not intense. Well, yeah, that's
well, I wanted to act like it. And so
it's not an act.
Yeah. But, you know, and so it did have a different feel. It was much more fun to be a part of the squad on Thursday night. I think just because the way our approach was and our focus, we were so much more dialed in. And our serving, Texas got us off onto a real good start there. That's Alexis Urena. And just because
I call her Tex.
Well, and how we got that nickname is because she's from Texas,
yeah.
And I need nicknames to remember names sometimes, and Texas.
We don't tell them my nickname.
Yeah. But anyway, we go, she just had the location down, and she just executed to the T.
What I had and, 6 aces, I think, for her.
Yeah, yeah. And I went back and redid the stats, and you were right on, Jeff.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
you
I
were
said
right
the,
on.
The last one I was kind of wishy-washy on, but hey, that's a good stat. No, I'm going to give it to her.
Absolutely, yeah. You were right on, 6. And yeah, so you know, when you have a senior step up and do that, and then Kayla Shimke, she was dialed in, and I loved the look that I saw on her face and the intensity, and again, the game plan. Her first swing went down line, and that is huge because we talked about what is open and what isn't open, and we actually worked on that in practice the day before, and she executed to the tee. And then Jada, you know, Brookings, you know, I was hard on Jada, and that's where, you know, you're going to start with your intensity. Is the setter, is the quarterback. She's going to feel everything, and she's got to be the most dialed into the game plan and what the coaches are thinking. And I was hard on her after the Brookings loss, and she stepped right up. She wasn't afraid of the pressure, and she made that team execute the game plan. And I thought she was much more under control. We think she's going to be one of the best setters in the state this year. I didn't think maybe we looked like that against Brookings so much because of what was going on. And the passing, we were struggling so bad with the passing. I think Jada got to a point that she was trying to so hard, to do so much, that it affected her. And I think that happens to anybody. I mean, it can happen to anybody in an office. When you're trying to do too much at the same time, bad things can happen. And so I thought she contained everything which was going on, played within herself, executed the game plan. And again, Jada was back to herself, and we were really happy with the way she attacked and kept her passers dialed in and really distributed the ball to the hot hitters at the time.
Well, let's look ahead to next week, because it's a pair of tough ones. O'Gorman at home, then Aberdeen on the road. And just talk a little about those two teams. I know at the beginning of the season you thought O'Gorman was maybe being just a little underrated, but I don't think anybody's doing that anymore. And Aberdeen, well, they pushed Mitchell, who you feel right now is the best team in the state. They pushed him to 5.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to play 2 of the top 4 teams in the state right now, bar none. I mean, and so we're going to get a real good test again, and now we're going to see how much emotionally we have grown since the Brookings thing. I think we were too concerned about, oh, we shouldn't be playing, you know, our 5th set against Brookings. But now, you know, we have to really focus on one point at a time. And I think this, our team can be really dangerous. I really do. And, you know, we've got Holly. We've got Jada. We've got Kayla doing really good things right now. Our back line is doing really good things. This is what we know about Aberdeen, is that they have Peyton Burkhart, and she'll play on the outside, and she's 6 foot. And so, you know, we're going to try to get our lineup going. We'll probably have Holly trying to take away some cross court, and then Jada digging Burkhart. We know that they've got another Kusler, who's a freshman. She's 6 foot, and she does a lot of things really, really well. They're a very good serving team. And so if we can pass and get ourselves in a position, we are going to have a chance. Plain, flat, simple. But that's how it is in volleyball. If you can serve and pass, you get a chance. And so we just have to right now at this time remember who we are, where we think we're going to be, stay within that realm, and keep working to get better on every point and play as hard as we can on every point. And I think good things will happen. You know, we've got 2 very young kids playing on the court, and as they grow, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about, you know, growing in the number of reps and experience and growing in their confidence, this team is going to get better, and Holly's going to get a lot better, Kayla's going to get better, and then, you know, we're waiting for Carly to get back in the court. Now you've got Melissa and Madison, and so it's we're going to be okay. It's just where we're headed. The thing that's getting us all, I think all of us, and I have to do a better job of deflecting this, is how this Sweet 16 is going to affect everything. And we just have to stop looking at that website. I'm going to ban it from my team.
Well, it's 2 months from now, so...
Yeah, we can't worry about
nothing
it.
Nothing is accurate right now.
Right, and, you know, that scale is still going to slide. So, honestly, I'm going to ban my kids mm-hmm. from looking at that website where they can see those rating points. It's I don't want to say freaking us out, but it's in the back of our head right now. And we've got to stop that and quit worrying about that and stay at the moment. I mean, I think that's what this young team really needs to focus on, is staying in the moment and staying in that point. And we'll get better. And, you know, this team is really growing on us. You know, when you start a season, when you lose 8 seniors, and I don't want to harp on that too much, but those seniors meant a lot. Mm-hmm. For the last 2-3 years, those seniors meant a lot. And so when you have to recover from losing your heart and soul and try to find a new heart and soul, that's going to take time. It really is. And these seniors have been very patient as we start developing. They maybe got a little antsy and maybe too hungry against the Brookings thing, where it caused some undue stress, but we're going to get that back and learn lessons. And so this week I'm really excited about the development and the growth that we're going to see. We're going to have hard times. And so when you're talking and you're telling people, we know we're going to have hard times, Jeff, and I think we're going to try to embrace that. Where we were rather frustrated and disgusted with those hard times against Brookings, we're now going to change that mindset and embrace those hard times, because we know that November, that's where we really want to be as a good team then.
Shelley Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They will host O'Gorman Tuesday at the arena, head to Aberdeen on Thursday. Both matches on 1340 KIJV Tiger 95. Here on Tiger Football, coming up next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets. the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're there when you need us. That is the motto that Farmers Union Insurance lives by. They know that when a loss occurs, you deserve their immediate attention. Huron area agent Pearson Anderson Insurance teams up with their loss representative to settle your loss and give you the attention that you deserve. Quality, commitment, and pride. Call Pearson Anderson Insurance in Huron and become a satisfied policyholder with insuring a brighter tomorrow.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And just about 8:30, we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, talking with Michael Schmitz, head coach of the Huron Tiger football team. A tough loss last night. Back and forth we went all night. Long game, too. Aberdeen, though, pulls out a 28-27 win over Huron. And, Coach, as quiet as the first half was, the second half just was completely different in about every way.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of points scored in the third and the fourth quarter. We kind of gave ourselves a shot towards the end, but it is what it is.
You know, that third quarter was really the difference, and not even just the third quarter. I think we added up was about a 2 minute 54 second stretch is where Aberdeen scored three touchdowns all off of Huron Tiger turnovers. And you know, when you get that, you know, 44 minutes, you're feeling good about what your team did in just those 4 minutes, and that can be the difference in a game.
Yeah, it just kind of all fell apart within that little short period of time. And it was just, it was us shooting ourselves in the foot.
Well, there was a lot of shooting going on last night on both sides of the ball. Aberdeen had, what, I believe a dozen penalties. We had the six turnovers. Aberdeen had three turnovers themselves. Let's take a look at the first half, though. I thought we were efficient for the most part to move the ball, although we only scored the one touchdown. But, you know, Aberdeen takes the opening kickoff, gets inside our 10. We hold them, and then they missed a field goal. We drive right down the field, so that was a nice response. You know, 80-yard drive, 19-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, and my big thing was I kind of kept watching the clock a little bit. I had one of my coaches watching the clock to see how long that drive was taking. I think it was about a five-minute drive, which was huge for us. I mean, just to establish what we do on offense, just to get it going.
And then defensively, we held them off the scoreboard. Of course, we were assisted by a few penalties as well. But, you know, going at half, we pitch a shutout in the first half. You had to feel good about that.
Yeah, we played pretty well defensively, and they kind of helped us out every once in a while. It seems like they had some penalties that were uncharacteristic, I guess, of what I would see anyway. And it kind of that slowed their momentum down like crazy.
Then you get to that third quarter, and really, offensively, it kind of started at the end of the second quarter. I felt the last two series, maybe we had the ball in the first half, we didn't get much accomplished. Then that kind of carried over in the third quarter, where it's almost like we just went stagnant for a little while, and that's when Aberdeen was able to jump.
Yeah, and we kind of got behind in the chains early on in the second half. Going into the third quarter, you know, they made their adjustments, which I kind of knew they would do, and slowed us down a little bit, but starting that second half, it seems like we just kind of came out a little flat, but I don't know.
Well, talk about some, you know, after we fall behind 21-7, you know, we could have packed it in, but we came back. Chip Schillingstad was kind of the spark. He had that interception, but not only that, he wanted to make use of it, and he nearly broke it there, just got chased down inside the 5-yard line. We score one play later, and that just seemed the spark everybody needed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had a couple of big explosive plays that really kind of kept us in it and kind of kept, you know, our minds in it as we went. And that was huge, you know, getting that big return back down into their territory. And, you know, that these kids just, they don't quit. In the last, I know, since I've been here anyway, that's been one of the things that we've worked on is just finishing games. And if you're behind, we're still going to put what we got out on the field.
And then we came with another explosive play, 88-yard touchdown pass, and Jet McGurr to Mason Small. And Mason, he did a couple of nice things. First off, well, it was two things that I just call want to. First, he wanted to get the ball, and then after he got the ball, he wanted to get away from the guy because he did a good job of just taking the catch because really he was covered fairly well. And then not only that, able to shake loose and then outrun anybody else and got to the end zone.
Yeah, definitely. You know, watching that play, I think I watched about 2:30 last night by the time I got to that play.
This morning, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't the best thrown ball, but he went and got it, and then he just forced himself to keep on his feet, and he just kept moving.
And then when we scored the third touchdown in that sequence, a fourth down play, so, you know, game's pretty much on the line by that point. And, you know, Kobe Push, we could just about put a 88 on him and just call him Ty Evers, just put him in the corner of the end zone. He's tall, he can jump, and he just went up and got the ball, and Jet had it perfectly on target, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good spot for the ball, and Kobe was ready for it, and kind of they haven't had a lot of timing yet, but we're still working on it kind of here and there. Still, you know, working on actually all our receivers, working on our timing, but I mean, he just kind of knew where it was going to be, and Jet put it where it needed to be, and he's just an athletic kid.
Well, then finally, Chip Schillingstead gets back into it. He has the long return after Aberdeen went ahead by a point, takes us down to the 20-yard line. Then we had the tip ball and the interception, which pretty much ended the game. As you looked at that, you know, we had time. We had, we had two timeouts left at the time. But one thing we didn't have was our field goal kicker, as Travis Kleinsaucer had to sit out the fourth quarter with a turned ankle. So I'd imagine that kind of affected your play calling a bit, too, because you knew you didn't have that to go back on a potential game-winning field goal.
Yeah, and looking at it, you know, if everything would have been right, we probably would have driven the ball a couple times up the middle just to get where we wanted to field goal, because Travis has been really good about putting the ball between the uprights. But with not knowing exactly what our next kicker was going to be able to do, we thought we'd take a shot, and actually I think it was a pretty good shot. It was the same kind of play we used on the two-point conversion, and it was there. It was wide open.
Well, defensively, you know, really, when you look at it, three of the four touchdowns were really not drives, two pick sixes, and then a one-play drive from the 22. Thought Alex Hill had a nice night defensively. I think he led us in tackling, according to our stats. Jackson Hook continues to play well at that linebacker position. Isaac Carr had a bunch of tackles last night, too.
Yeah, they really put together a pretty good game for the most part. We had a couple instances that, you know, we had jumped off sides at that. It was a third and six or third and seven, and kind of let them get some momentum back. But for the most part, you know, that defense has been playing pretty solid as of late.
Now, we actually have an extra day off, which in this case might be a good thing, especially with the Kleinsaucer ankle. Don't play till next Saturday when we go to Harrisburg for the Tiger Bowl. Harrisburg playing today, I believe, against O'Gorman. So chance there to probably get a little scouting in, but you kind of know what you're going to get with Harrisburg. They got a quarterback that's verbally committed to USD. For me, Jack Anderson's probably the best running back in the division, so they have some weapons.
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, they bring a lot to the table. They return a lot of kids up front. And so, I mean, that always helps your teams out when you can return a lot of kids on the line. And so, yeah, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to surprise a lot of people, because everybody's kind of watching them anyway.
And just to wrap things up here, 1-1, and after a convincing win, you're that close to being 2-0. Bottom line, you aren't, and the kids just know you got to get back to work on Monday.
Yeah, we got things to fix, you know, and that's the thing I harped on a little bit after the game was, you know, being that close. We fixed some of the things that kind of fooled us around, and we have that game pretty in our hands pretty easily.
Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tiger Football. The Tigers now off till next Saturday. Again, that is a Saturday game. They will be at Harrisburg, 7 o'clock, 1 week from tonight. We'll take a final time out here, come back, talk some Twins baseball to wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health.